on digital radio, on the app, on your smart speaker, on Twitter, YouTube, Twitch.tv, and Facebook.
The Sportscast. Expect the unexpected.
The update presented by The Sportscast.
Sportscast, April 15th, 2024. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, YouTube, Twitch, X, and Apple Podcast. You can also listen to us on your smart speaker. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously. We're also on online radio. You can visit our website, thesportscast.net, or the Sportscast for iOS. You can get the app on the iOS App Store. And there you have it, all the downloads you need. What a weekend like going on. We had the Masters. We had the NBA playoffs, decision day, you can call it. And, of course, we got Man City up top again in the right moment, right spot, and joining us all the way from Northeast United States. Hal Phillips, welcome back to the Sportscast.
Hey, Santi, what's up?
Too much going on in sports. But you saw an amazing event last week, the solar eclipse. How was that?
I think it changed me. It really was something. When you're this close to the path of totality, you know, you got to make the effort. So we drove about an hour and a half north of my home here in Maine to, a rural outpost in the mountains, and hung out on a hillside, had some Prosecco, and watched the thing come and go. It was something. It was the darkness. You have to take the glasses off and really enjoy sort of the midday darkness, and the stars come out right away. These weird ripply shadows form on the surface of the snow, which was on this hillside. It was really cool. And then, of course, it got light again, and we could see it move on down the valley away from us, like a spaceship was hovering over us. It was cool.
Yeah, it's once what every 40 years, and the next one will be in 2045 or 2044.
Yeah, it won't be anywhere near us when it does. You know, it's a global phenomenon, so it's going to be somewhere, you know, in the full totality on the Earth, but you know, it could be over the middle of the Pacific Ocean for all I know. So when it comes this close to your hometown, you gotta move. You gotta get there with some glasses.
You gotta show up. Well, that's one event you cannot miss. Before we start, we got a word from our sponsor. In the rhythm of life, every tick of the clock holds a story. But how do we make every moment count? Meet Start Time, the simplest way to log, track, and optimize your time right at your fingertips. Start Time is designed for simplicity. With just a tap, begin logging any activity. And when you're done, hit stop. It's that easy. Wherever you are, Start Time knows. Our location detection feature automatically tags your logs, giving context to every second spent. Keep your day in perspective with a log tab. Every task, every moment, neatly organized and easy to review. Log, track, and optimize your time with a tap. Ready to make every moment count? Start with Start Time. Available now for iOS. Check out Start Time in the iOS App Store. All right. So when Hal and I were pre-gaming the show today, he mentioned the Masters. I was not sure if Hal watched the Masters. I think you mentioned you play golf. Well, Scotty, you're going to say something, right?
No.
Okay. Scotty Scheffler won his second Masters tournament in 3 years, had a phenomenal tournament. He might be the best golfer in the world. Your thoughts, Hal?
Well, I think he is the best player in the world right now. And just so viewers know, I write about soccer and all sorts of sports, but I've made my living in golf for about 30 years. I've written for Golf Magazine. I'm a member of their course rating panel. So I pay a lot of attention to golf, and not necessarily tournament golf, but no one misses the Masters. And this guy is appointment viewing. I watched the entire 4 days of action, and he was just the best player. It was obvious he was making birdies with ease, whereas everyone else who was contending just struggled to get anything under par and would make a double and couldn't come back. But this guy, I think he made three or four bogeys on the day, but he made eight birdies, and he was just unstoppable. And it was a really impressive performance.
He poured in five birdies, according to my notes, in a seven-hole stretch to distance themselves from the Chasers and eventually claimed the four-shot victory. Masters rookie Ludvig Åberg shone bright in his debut to finish number two, while Colin Markowawa, Max Homa, and Tommy Fleetwood finished tied for a third at four under.
One of the big draws of the Masters is the back nine at Augusta National, when you've got all sorts of birdieable par fives, and it's this beautiful tableau. And if you have five or six people competing, it's really an incredible drama to watch in a free-for-all. But that didn't materialize. Scheffler was too good. He just wore everybody out by the 12th hole and then just kept making birdies as people fell further and further away. It really was a fun tournament until then, and it's always fun. It's a calling of spring, you know, every second Sunday in April. So it's always a welcome thing in a general way. But it's a bit of a bummer that there wasn't more drama on Sunday. But this guy, it's pronounced Åberg, that little, those two dots Åberg on top of the A. Right. Yeah. Apparently in Swedish mean you pronounce it Åberg, Ludvig Åberg. This guy's going to be a star. He was incredible. Yeah. And actually, if he didn't drop one into the pond at 11, he might have challenged right to the end, but he was just too far back like everyone else was. Scheffler's the best in the game right now. Funnily enough, he's only won two majors. He's 27 years old, which is his prime, but he's been playing tournament golf for 7-8 years. He's won nine times, which is fine, but there's other people that have won more. Kepka and John Rahm has been more dominant than this guy. He's only won two majors. They've both been the Masters, and everyone is waiting to see whether he can continue this dominance somewhere other than Augusta. And we'll find out next month at the PGA.
Also, Tiger Woods, a lot of people were eyeing him. He finished 100th, I believe, in the Masters. He did qualify, but did not make it to that, you know, that top tier.
Yeah, you know, he won this tournament in 2019, and then he wrecked his car and his leg. So he set a record by actually making the cut. He didn't play badly. The course was playing very, very difficult the first 2 days, and he made the cut with several strokes to spare, which is no small matter for a guy who's, you know, nearly 50 years old and has a bad wheel. But then Saturday, it was an even tougher day, and he just couldn't do anything. But yeah, quite an achievement to have made the cut. And but he looked very tired, and let's face it, he looked old over the weekend. And he might be, you know, maybe at some point he'll say, why am I doing this?
He's an old 48 years old, isn't he?
Yeah, he's been through a lot.
It's interesting because they were showing highlights of him winning it. He was so young when he won it. I'm not sure if the highlight was his first one that he won, but he looked pretty young.
Well, that was 1997. So do the math. That was 26 years ago. Wow. 27 years ago. Yeah, 27 years ago. So he was 20 years old. I think it was 19, actually. But he's been with us a long time. And, you know, I watched him closely. Everyone does. And he hits it as far as anyone else. But the difficult thing for him now, I think, is fatigue, and walking a very, very hilly golf course for 4 days in competition is asking a lot of any 48 year old. But when your leg is sort of degenerating because of the car accident you had 2 years before, it's an even bigger ask. Be interesting to see what happens. But golf's in a good place with or without him. I think there's a lot of stars that are worth watching, and
yeah,
it's just more evidence of that.
For sure. He's done a lot of writing golf, but we'll see what happens with him. And Scottie Scheffler, definitely the future. Only 27, so there's probably more of him to bring. All right, the NBA playoff bracket is all set. It was an amazing day yesterday, decision day, I call it. I'm not sure if they call it decision day in the NBA, but it is a reference to the Premier League. In the Eastern Conference, the Orlando Magic and Indiana Pacers secured that number 5-6 seed, respectively pushing the Philadelphia Sixers and Heat into the play-in tournament. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, in the West, OKC finished number one. Unbelievably, yeah. Very young team. And Nuggets are at number two, the defending champion, and the T-Wolves are in third place. And the Suns had that final spot in the regular playoffs there at the sixth seed, and the Pelicans now have that play-in tournament. Looking in the East, we got the Bulls versus the Atlanta Hawks, then Philadelphia versus Miami. In the West, Pelicans versus Lakers, and then rivalry of the Bay Area. Well, not Bay Area, but Northern California, Warriors versus the Kings. Let's start with the East. How do you picture this play-in shaping out? Obviously, the Heat last year, I think they were 10th or 8th. They were in the play-in. They got out of the play-in, went all the way to the NBA Finals. But what's your thought over the East play-in so far?
I can tell you that nobody in New England wants to play the Heat again. They have kicked the Celtics out of the playoffs twice now since 2020, when I think we certainly thought, and the NBA cognoscenti would agree, the Celtics were a better team. But they're very, very tough to play. But they don't seem like they're quite the same. They stumbled into these playoffs. They looked like they were peaking in around February, and everyone was like, oh, geez, we don't want to play them, because they had not been good so far. They were going to come in as a 6, 7, 8 seed, maybe 5. But they fell down on the job in March and finished very poorly. So I don't think anyone knows what to expect from them. Bulls and Hawks, I sort of think the Bulls will win. The one thing about the Bulls, and I've watched a lot of the Bulls this year because I have a buddy who is a big Bulls fan, is they're in every game. They're a 500 team, but they are in every single game without fail. So I expect that to be a close game, and I'm going to pick the Bulls just because I'm going to support my buddy. But I wouldn't be surprised at all if the 76ers and the Heat end up going through with the 7 and 8, playoff spots, depending on, you know, who wins the final one or who wins the first night. You know, people know by now, I hope, the first playing game, Sixers and Heat, the winner goes directly to the 7th seed. And the loser plays the winner of the Bulls and Hawks, and the winner of that game becomes the 8th seed. So conceivably, as the Celtics fan, we could play the 76ers or the Heat in the first round. And I can't say that I'm excited about that. They're both very good teams. They're both better than Orlando, Cleveland. And at this point, they might be better than Milwaukee. We see them in the first round. And I guess I'm hoping it's the Bulls. And I hope they beat one of those teams gets knocked off. But I don't see it happening.
Who do you have between Philadelphia and the Heat? Who will play the Knicks?
I sort of think the Heat are going to go down. And so that the 76ers will go through. And there's an extra incentive to get through with the 7 seed here, because then you avoid Boston. As worried as I am about these two teams, no one wants to play the Celtics. So definite incentives here. I mean, brilliance is maybe the wrong word. The allure of the play-in is obvious. These are 4 spots for 2. These teams clearly want a piece of that. And there's real incentive to avoid Boston by going in as the 7th seed. And trying to do that in a regular season, well, maybe that was just more than these teams could handle in terms of injuries or end of year load management. But here we are with 2 compelling matchups, especially 76ers Heat. And at that point, you know, whoever advances from the Bulls and Hawks match against the loser of that first, that's going to be an interesting match with a lot on the line.
Let's stay in the East. Your Celtics look pretty good this year. How would you rate them? I mean, I think they're scary, but what are your thoughts over the Celtics this season?
Look, it's very hard to judge this team because they've been very good now for a long time. Since 2020, they've been a 55-60 win team. Their 2 key players are both all NBA guys, Jaylen Brown and Tatum. They just keep getting better. They're not getting worse. And they just reloaded this year with Jrue Holiday and Porzingis. They've got the best roster in the NBA. They have the best team in the NBA. I mean, you could say the Nuggets are the defending champions and they have to be beaten. I'll grant you that. I would love to see that series. The problem comes with the Celtics is who knows whether they have a plan B. You know, it's one thing to play in a regular season game against the Magic and shoot the 3 so poorly that you lose by 20. But what happens when that's a playoff game and you can't afford to lose the game by 20 and you have to do something else to win the game? And I haven't seen that from them. They're very stubborn in the way they play the game, and it won them 60 games. So it's not a bad idea, but there are times in the playoffs when you have to do something else to win. And I don't know whether they have been conditioned to do that. They are taking the ball to the basket more now at the end of games, thank God, and getting to the line a little bit more. I don't know that they're going to be tested like we would prefer them to be tested in the East. It all depends on how Philadelphia and Embiid are, you know, are playing, in my view. The Knicks are a nice team, but ultimately, I don't think they can win more than a game or two off the Celtics.
Yeah, and I think Miami could beat the Knicks. You mentioned the Magic, quite a surprising team to make the playoffs this year.
I had an interesting discussion with another junkie the other day about where Trae Young goes. Apparently, you know, the Hawks have shown they can win without this guy. They were great once Trae Young went down. In fact, they were better. I think they were 12-7 without him. And before they were like, well, what do we do with Trae Young? You know, he would never trade him. Well, I think they would trade him now because they might as well give the team to DeJounte Murray. They're bigger. They're better defensively without Trae Young. Well, where does he go? That's a long way of saying he'd be perfect on the Magic. That team needs shooters. Orlando has a really nice young core of guys, and they're big, and unusually for a young NBA team, they're very good defensively. So you put another shooter on the floor with them, a guy who, you know, is your point guard, but, you know, maybe you can play someone like Suggs, you know, next to him. And that's a very interesting backcourt who can cover for some of Trey's defensive liabilities. I don't see them being able to do much in this playoff. They are the fifth seed, right? So they play Cleveland.
Yeah, they play Cleveland. Yeah, right there. Yep.
Interesting matchup, just because Cleveland's been beat up. I mean, Cleveland's young core is superior to Orlando, but I would say defensively, the Magic are second to none in the East. They really grind it out. So that's a good series. I'll watch that.
Yeah, for sure. And then we got the Bucks versus the Pacers. Giannis is kind of hurt, actually. He has been resting these past couple of days or week, actually, with a calf strain. Can Bucks do it without Giannis, or they need him?
I don't know. This team's just not been very good. And when I talk about the Celtics being a better roster, when you look at the Bucks roster, you know, aside from Giannis and Dame and maybe Chris Middleton when he's healthy, he looks pretty healthy. You know, they're playing guys like Pat Connaughton and Bobby Portis and other castoffs. You know, they're just not a great team. And I guess they're a little better under Doc, but I don't think Doc's a very good coach. No one does. I don't see them as being much of a threat. And if Giannis really is hurt, and he did sit out the last couple games of the regular season because he was hurt. No one really knows why, because we don't talk about those things publicly when playoff time comes. We don't know what's wrong with him. But I'll watch that series just because I love watching the Pacers. They're really fun to watch. And they're going to run the Bucks out of that gym if they can. So it'll be very interesting to see if the Bucks shoot well enough to fend them off.
Yeah, Pacers are definitely a playoff, historically playoff team. So they definitely like to be a spoiler. So we'll see what happens. Let's go into the mighty West. The first play-in matchup is the Pelicans versus the Lakers. Lakers might have no Anthony Davis, but Pelicans have Zion. Your thoughts over this matchup?
Is Davis ruled out for this game?
Not yet. He has not been ruled in yet.
I think they're bird dogging him. I think they'll play him. They can't afford not to play him, because one win and you're in, and then you get some time off to rest. But you got to win that first game. These are four really good teams. That's the one thing when you look at the West and the East, the quality of these four teams and the quality of the four teams in the East, no contest. And these should be really entertaining matches. The Pelicans are the mystery team. They've played as well as anybody in the West for periods of time in the second half of the season. And what's really interesting to me is that Zion has started to accept and pursue really demanding defensive assignments. For example, when before Kawhi Leonard got hurt, when they played the Clippers, he's like, I want that guy. And he did a good job on him. Now, that's just not what Zion is known to do. And it's a sign that he's grown up, and it's a sign of how versatile this team is. Because if you can,
he's in great shape too.
He's in better shape. Yeah, he's enough. He's enough in shape. I mean, who is the dude? JB. Who was the dude who played for NC State? He has cut everybody in basketball.
Yeah, he looks pretty heavy.
Some slack. Everyone else looks good now because this guy was on TV for a week and a half. But anyway, I like Zion, being able to D up and play good players on the other team. It's not something that stars usually do. And it just shows that he's maturing. It's a very versatile team they have there in New Orleans. And Ingram is a former Laker who would love nothing more than to stick it back in the Lakers' face. And if Davis doesn't play, I don't think they can win. The Pelicans are good. The Pelicans are real good. And they're better than the Lakers. And the Lakers, if you're a Roto guy like me, you noticed who was playing down the stretch and who wasn't, because, you know, a lot of guys get sat. And you have to adjust your lineup to suit, you know, who's resting and who's not. Well, I had D'Angelo Russell, and he played every second of every Lakers game. They needed to win these games. They were desperately trying to get out of this situation and get out of the play-in. But now that they're in it, do they have an incentive to win and go in as the seven seed? Yes, they do. Interestingly, though, suppose they lose and then beat the Kings or the Warriors for that eighth seed, who do they play? Well, they play OKC. OKC is now the top seed in the West. And no one's going to be favored against OKC, but this is the first time this team has ever played for anything. And it wouldn't surprise me at all if they lost a couple games and had, you know, a little bit of an issue, you know, with the, what do they call it, the squeaky bum time. You know, it's pressure that they've not endured. And, you know, maybe they have to go back to LA and win a game or go back to New Orleans and do it. It'd be very interesting to see how they respond. But because OKC snuck in there and got the top seed, everyone is looking at these matchups a little differently than they were expecting to. I think everyone thought it would be the Nuggets or the Timberwolves, and they're now at number two and number three.
Yeah, quite interesting situation there with the Lakers. Let's go to the other play-in matchup, the Kings versus the Warriors. The Warriors were hobbling to that last spot in the play-in. The Kings have given them trouble. They played a year ago. I think it was a playoff series, not a play-in, but this is just a one-off. What do you think about this matchup?
Well, that series was very fun to watch. It was very amazing. Closely contested.
High ratings.
I thought Sacramento was better than they were last year, and they just ran out of gas. I don't think the Warriors are any good anymore. I think they're old. They've got some young pieces that just aren't ready to step up and do anything, you know, as of star quality. Klay Thompson is gone. You know, he's just not the same player. He's just a spot-up shooter now. Steph is Steph, but, you know, Draymond, you can't even keep him on the court. I don't know. I'm not a fan of Draymond. I'm not a fan of this particular team, and I'm rooting against them. I think their time has passed. I'm still annoyed that they beat the Celtics 2 years ago in the finals when we had a chance to win a title. They won it fair and square, but I think it's obvious that they're past their sell-by date.
So how has the Kings beating the Warriors? Who do you have coming out of the Pelicans, Lakers?
I see the Pelicans and the Lakers getting out of this foursome pretty straightforwardly.
Well, there you have it. And the other matchups, OKC, you brought them up a bit. Everyone's saying they're a beatable number one seed. Whoever faces them, that they might get out in the first round. Do you think so? I know the average age is under drinking age, but
is that right?
Yeah,
they're very young. They're very young. They're very talented. They've got the swag. They're not a bad team at all. They're a very good team, but they're a playoff unknown. We just don't know what they're going to do. The coach is an unknown. Their home court is an unknown. We don't know how they're going to respond. They're probably going to kick ass. That's what they've done all year long. But when you're jockeying for position at the end of an NBA season, there's usually a team like the Celtics that you are trying to avoid in the one slot. You want to get them, you know, we heard about that a ton about, oh, well, the Knicks really want to be in that 2-3 slot. So they avoid the Celtics until the finals. Well, that's sort of the way everyone was thinking in the West. No one wanted to draw Denver because I think they are the class of the West. Well, now they're the 2 seed. Now, all of a sudden, being the 8 seed isn't so bad. And you don't want to be the 7 seed because you're going to get the Nuggets. So it's sort of fascinating the way it shook out. And now every matchup, no matter who comes through from these play-ins in the West, is a great matchup. Timberwolves, Suns, great matchup. 3 versus 6. Clippers and Mavs. That's a straight up dead heat right there.
That's going to be the closest series of the first round.
It could be, but the Suns have played best against the best teams in the West. I think they're something like 25 and 15 against the top 4 seeds. That's good. They've screwed up against bad teams, I just don't know how the Suns are going to be able to deal with the size of the Timberwolves when Cat comes back. Karl Anthony Towns, he's been hurt. They're giant, and they'll just pound the Suns, who really only have Nurkic to play in the middle of the floor. So I don't know. The Suns are flawed, but they could shoot you to death. I can't see them not being able to score on anyone too. So we could go into it forever. All the matchups in the West are great, whereas, you know, there's some nice matchups in the East. You know, the Cleveland and Orlando is a good matchup of young teams, but no one thinks those teams are going to go anywhere. Whereas, you know, almost any team in the top six, and if you throw the Pelicans in, any team in the top seven could come out of the West if things went right.
But you did mention your prediction is a Boston versus Nuggets finals. Is that what you said earlier, didn't you?
Celtics Nuggets?
Yeah.
I don't see how you can pick against them. I certainly picked them at the beginning of the year. The Nuggets are the champions, and they've played very well. They're a little deeper, I think, than they were last year. They only played six or seven guys in those games. That was really striking. But they're a little deeper, and this Prentice fellow is a very athletic 6'8", 3 off the bench. But the Celtics should be able to play with them. It would be very good for the NBA if that was the finals matchup. They'd draw a million eyeballs, millions and millions, and they'd certainly draw mine. I want to see that matchup.
Well, there you have it. The play-in begins tomorrow. Lakers at the Pelicans should be a good one. And then on Wednesday, actually two games tomorrow, Pelicans, Lakers, Kings, Warriors, the West Coast starts off. And then on Tuesday, on Wednesday, you're going to see the Sixers, Heat, and Bulls, Hawks. So a lot to look forward to. I think all the matchups are pretty exciting, and looking forward to what's going to happen, because these play-ins are exciting because they're only one-offs. There's no 2-3 game best of five series or anything like that. So Looking forward to that. Anything else before we move on to the Premier League?
No, we could go on and on about the West. It's going to be a tremendous playoff out there.
You nailed it. All right, Premier League, things got pretty spicy yesterday. Aston Villa struck late through Ollie Watkins and Leon Bailey to inflict a huge blow on Arsenal's Premier League title challenge with a 2-0 win at the Emirates on Sunday. And Liverpool also lost against Crystal Palace 1-0, leaving Man United, it's in that chart, at first place, 73 points, 2 points above Arsenal and Liverpool. They're in the driver's seat. Hal, give me some therapy here.
Yeah, that was a very poor performance by Liverpool. I'm sorry for you, Santi. That couldn't have come at a worse time, but we should have seen it coming. They were terrible at home against Atalanta in the Europa 3-0. League the Thursday before, and they just laid an egg. I mean, I watched that game. I thought the Palace goal was really good, and I thought Palace could have scored two or three more goals. Yep. But it felt like Liverpool had 30 shots on goal. They just couldn't. It was weird. I heard someone say it felt like they had 30 shots on goal, but didn't look like they were ever going to score. So they were not the typically incisive, you know, in close to goal, you know, short passing that you expect to see. Salah was not good. And, you know, when was the last time we've said that? The one thing I do want to say, though, is that I hate the trope that goes along with premiership punditry, especially, but with many sports. You know, a day like this happens and everyone's like, well, it's over. Man City's got it wrapped up. No, they don't. There's seven games left. Both Arsenal and Man City have to play Tottenham. I believe that Liverpool still has to play Aston Villa. There are still good teams. Not easy. Yeah, not easy. And I mean, we should know this by now. Every week, something like Palace, Liverpool happens, and Wolverhampton comes up and beats these teams in the middle of the table this year are very good. And I would argue that the teams at the top of the table aren't, you know, unbeatable. And we've seen it over and over again. I think Man City has lost three times. I think Arsenal has lost five times. You know, they've tied a bunch of games and they've all won more than anyone else. But that just shows you that they can be had, especially on an away pitch. So I can't wait for the run in. It's going to be stimulating to the max. And I just hope that Tottenham wins its makeup game, gets even with Villa. And then for whatever reason, Tottenham, you know, I mean, I'm a Tottenham guy, so I don't want to make it too Tottenham-centric. But Tottenham, for whatever reason, plays Man City beautifully. They have done this for 3 or 4 years on the trot, regardless of manager. Whatever they do gives Man City a difficult time. They've beaten them two or three times. They've tied them. They've done it in cups. They've done it in league games. So that is not a game that Man City wants to play. Trust me. And Arsenal has to play Tottenham in the North London Derby, and that'll be charged as usual. So I think there's a lot of good fun left here. It's just not in anyone's interest to walk around and say, "Oh, it's over." Well, okay, yeah, go. You can go garden on Saturday mornings. Go work in the garden. If you really think that's true, then stop covering them. You know, quit your job at the Guardian and go work in the garden. That's ridiculous. I'm not doing that. I'm gonna watch.
Yeah, and also keep in mind, Wolves have been a spoiler to Man City in the past, house, so that could be a good one. Also, Tottenham, like you were saying. Let's stay with Tottenham. What happened versus Newcastle?
I don't know. They were terrible. They have played three games in the last month, and it's sort of an every other game. They come out and play fine and win, but they lost to Fulham 3-0. They lost to Newcastle, was 4-0. And then I'm forgetting one. They beat Villa in between, crushed them. And that everyone thought that was a corner turning match for Tottenham. And they've just been terrible ever since then. One wonders whether they're beginning to be found out. And not necessarily everyone talks about their high line they play. They do play a very high line in back and have given up some goals. But I notice more that teams are sort of sagging off of them and not trying to press them, because when you press them, they're able to break out. Their passing scheme out of the back is outstanding, but not if you sort of sag and make them hold the ball further and further and don't let them go over the top. So I don't, you know, they've got a new coach, and it could be that the rest of the league is wise now to Ange Postecoglou and his wily ways, but I don't know what to tell you. But again,
I like him.
Yeah, you too. And I'm worried for Tottenham. I think that if Arsenal ends up beating Bayern Munich in the Champions League tomorrow, then five teams from the English Premier League will go through to the Champions League. So the stakes, I don't think, are quite as high as we would have assumed. It's not really a top four. It's a top five that will go to the Champions League. But even so, you want to finish in the top four. And I know Tottenham desperately wants to beat Arsenal and ruin their season on the last Sunday in April. So that will be a big game to watch too.
That leads us to our predictions for Champions League. Who do you have? PSG at Barcelona. Barcelona is up 3-2 in aggregate.
And they've gone back home.
Yeah.
They've been so inconsistent. They've been so inconsistent. I'm tempted to pick PSG just because that's the last thing we would expect from this matchup. No one expected Barcelona to go and win that game. No one expected PSG even to be any good once they unloaded all these stars. Now they're an actual team, and they're quite hard-nosed.
Where's PSG?
Go ahead.
No, sorry. Go ahead. Sorry.
And Luis Gonzalez is the coach of PSG. He was the coach at Barcelona. It's fascinating that he's going to go
Luis Enrique.
Luis Enrique. Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, Luis Enrique. And he goes back to Barcelona now to coach this game, has to score a couple goals to win. It doesn't look good for PSG, but I'm fascinated to watch. The other thing I noticed is that Xavi, you know, since he very publicly came out and said that he's retiring it, they were taking, you know, he's leaving after the end of the year. He's unbeaten. They're unbeaten since that 13 games.
He was bluffing, Hal.
Whatever it was very effective. 13 games without a defeat since he announced his retirement.
I think he should come back.
I don't care what he does. He looks very unhappy.
There's a lot of pressures in that job, I hear.
Yes, he looks like Robert Downey Jr. in a very bad mood all the time.
That's true. That's a good comparison.
So,
okay.
For his mental health, I want him to get healthy.
Okay, the other Tuesday match, Atletico Madrid at Dortmund. Who do you have there? Atletico Madrid is up 2-1 in aggregate.
Yeah, and it was. I think that game was in Germany, so they're coming back to Spain.
No, correct? They're going to Germany.
Oh, well, yeah. I think that's on a knife edge then. I thought for sure that game. I can't tell. I only saw the highlights of the first match.
At a nice stadium that Atletico have. I love it.
Yeah, it's beautiful. But that's the kind of game that Atletico Madrid seems to win. I'm going to pick Dortmund. I think Dortmund scores a couple goals in that game and goes against form. We'll see.
And then on Wednesday, I think I know who Hal's going to go for. Arsenal at Bayern Munich. Aggregates 2-2, all leveled. Who do you have?
Arsenal should lose this game. They're playing against Harry Kane in Germany. Kane owns them. He always scores against them. And they're completely rattled, having been, you know, lost this game. We're going to find out a lot about Arsenal on Wednesday. If they come out
the
and
real
beat
Arsenal.
Bayern, yeah, what?
The real Arsenal.
Well, we'll see. I think that anything could happen in this match, I suppose, but geez, it really is stacked against the Gunners. And if it happens that they do advance, just that is good news for Tottenham, because that means that we're through. So, but I think they're gonna lose. And I won't be unhappy about it.
And well, they say that Arteta, the Arsenal manager, lost on yesterday against Aston Villa because he rested some players for this matchup against Bayern Munich.
But did he took Odegaard out?
Yeah.
Is that why he took him out?
I think it was the other guy, the Ukrainian Chichenko, I think.
Resting Zinchenko is not any kind of tactic for Champions League midweek. That's a game they had to win. I didn't notice that they rested a bunch of people. Did
they
you?
They did a little bit of a lineup change, but okay. In the Premier League, you cannot rest on your laurels. You gotta go 100%, you know, head on.
Well, Villa's the fifth best team in the Premiership, maybe the fourth best team. So you can't afford to do that. Okay, I'm gonna amend my get more specific with my prediction. I believe that each team scores a goal here or two, and they go to penalty. I think there hasn't been a penalty kick decider in a long time. But I'm predicting 2-2 and penalty kicks. And Arsenal wilts in the penalty kick shootout, of course, because they're playing Germans.
And there's one more in this series, Real Madrid at Manchester City. This one, I think the aggregate is 3-3. All level of three. What's going to happen there?
Great fun. How can you pick against Pep? I'm not picking against Pep, against Real Madrid at home. Not doing it. I think Man City goes through.
Man City goes through the treble.
Man City goes through.
The only English team left, according to Hal.
Yes, I guess I am. But, you know, we're talking the final four. So it's,
and two German teams.
And two
one French.
I guess we are. Yeah, two German teams. The German league has taken a lot of heat for Bayern being bad and not winning their 12th. League in a, you know, title in a row. It's like at some point they have to not win the league. It's better for the Bundesliga if that happens. Leverkusen is still alive in the Europa Cup, but Dortmund's a good team. They score goals. That's why I think they're going to do well against Atletico. They score. May give some up, but they score goals.
And congratulations to Bayer Leverkusen. As Hal mentioned, they won their first Bundesliga, I think, since the 70s or maybe ever.
No, I don't think it's the first one ever, but 90s. If I'm not mistaken, they're still unbeaten.
But they won it yesterday. Like they won like this past weekend.
Yes, they clinched it. But to go through an entire league season without any loss is quite something. And they're still talking about the Arsenal team that did it in England in 2003 or 4, whenever it was.
The Invisibles.
Yes, but no one's talking about. Well, maybe they are in Germany. No one's talking about Leverkusen that way. Maybe they should.
Congratulations to Xavi Alonso. His first year as a manager for a top side. So.
Smart move not going to Liverpool, not because I have anything against Liverpool. That would have been a crazy expectation shit show, Santi. I mean,
that would have been something.
It would have been terrible for him. It was a really smart move on his part.
Well, there you have it. Full of sports this past week. And I think April and May is going to be a lot going on when it comes to a lot NBA, Premier League, Champions League, and of course, golf. Things going on. But looking forward to this week as the NBA playoffs begin. And what is the best way to reach you online to talk to you about your book?
Oh, it's right down there below, genzero.halphillips.net. That's my URL for Generation Zero, the book that I published in July 2022. But it's also my threads and my Instagram handle. So check it out, the genzero.halphillips part. Lots of good stuff posted there, including, if you're not an Arsenal fan, a very sort of subtle takedown of the whole Arsenal mystique. This was before. This was before on the weekend's events. This was written last week when I flew home from California and dealt with a real jerk across the aisle from me in a bunch of Arsenal gear. So
I can't believe it during the flight.
I know during the flight. It's a long story. I won't go into it. People need to read the essay. It's gotten some great play online, but it's still there if you want to go and read it. Especially if you're an Arsenal hater, you're going to love it.
I still mentioned about U.S. men's national team. Congrats to Gio Reyna, who had his first start for the Nottingham Forest. Played for 73 minutes. I think he had an assist, but great performance by Gio finally.
I thought he went the full 90.
No, got subbed out.
Oh, okay. Well, anyway, it's still a step forward for him. I watched part of that match, and he looked great. He does what he does. Gio Reyna gets the ball at his feet. He has great vision. He comes back and gets it. He doesn't sit around waiting for it. But there's obviously an aspect to his game that you know, the manager doesn't want him on the field when it's time for the team to defend as a unit. He's just not good at that yet. And you know what? There's a lot of 22-year-old kids who aren't good at that yet. So I never had any hate for Gio. I understand why Berhalter dealt with him the way he did at the World Cup. Every coach he's had has dealt with him in exactly the same way since. So clearly Greg is not an outlier in that way, but this guy's grown up and he's going to be a first-class talent. And I can't wait to see him in 2 years during the World Cup.
And Copa America this summer.
Oh, Club Hampton, we don't even have to wait that long. But, I'm more excited. You know, I think the older he gets, the better he's going to get.
I agree. Well, you can reach us at thesportscast.net or thesportscast1 on X and Instagram. And we'll be live tweeting throughout the week of what's going to happen in the NBA and, of course, Champions League. Looking forward to it. How? What a show. Action-packed. Did not know you liked the Masters. Now I know you're going for Liverpool versus Arsenal. Any closing words before we go?
I'm sorry. What before we go?
Any closing words?
I don't. Go Bayern Munich.
Go Bayern Munich. And this was it.